Well, good morning. It's so good to be with you. Just thank God for this place. I first came here in 1986 with Kurt and his parents on a just to spend one night and to be here for missionary night. And that night, Kurt and I came forward and just to say to the Lord, we're willing. Use us however you will. Very special. The next day, Kurt proposed, and a year later, we were married. And so this place holds some special memories for us, but thank God for what he does, right? We were just visitors in and out in a short period of time, but the Lord did something significant in our lives. And many of you who are here right now have invested many years in this place, much prayer, financial support so kids can come. You have no idea, we have no idea what God has done at this altar. Through your prayers, through your gifts. I mean, won't it be wonderful in heaven to catch a glimpse of what God has done, multiplying his work as he saves people, as he calls people, as he sends people, and then uses them to do the same in other lives all around the world? Praise God. So after we got married, we taught in public schools in Northern Kentucky for several years. And during our devotional times, we always have devotions on our own in the mornings, but over about a six-month period of time in my devotions, I just felt the Lord stirring in my heart about missions and was a little bit confused and concerned because it really seemed like God was calling me, but Kurt was teaching in an inner-city public school in Newport, Kentucky, and we were sure that was his mission field. The Lord answered my prayers, though, as I was asking him, God, if this is really of you, would you speak to Kurt and lead us in it together as a family? And one morning after Kurt finished his devotions, he came to me and he said, Cynthia, we need to apply with World Gospel Mission. And as we compared our prayer journals, over that same six-month period of time that I had been struggling and asking the Lord if that's what he was saying to me, he was also speaking to Kurt. But it was something so big, we hadn't talked to each other about it yet. But God confirmed his call, his direction on our life in that way. So we were teachers, and we were familiar with World Gospel Mission, and so just approached the mission saying, this is what we have, who we are. We applied to go wherever they might see fit, and the Lord directed them to appoint us to Bolivia. We were able to serve there, as Jelena mentioned, for 24 years, teaching at the Santa Cruz Christian Learning Center. Such a blessing to be there, such a beautiful outreach, international Christian school. Children whose families were in Bolivia for a variety of reasons, but kids that parents wanted them to learn English. It was kind of an upper crust, wealthy, influential student body that we had. But as children there came to know the Lord through the school, and their parents came to know the Lord, as families then were dispersed back around the world, they took the gospel, they've taken Christ with them to shine in a variety of places. So we thank God for that. It was a wonderful place to raise our children. We have five children. We just thank God for them, for the blessing they had to grow up in Bolivia, for the many people who prayed for them throughout their lives as they prayed for us. And we just praise God. Our five children love the Lord. God has given each of them spouses who love the Lord, and together they're seeking him and serving him in their homes, so in their workplace. God is good, and we just thank him for his leading in our lives. We know everyone has a story, but isn't God great how he can lead each one of us individually? Through different times and seasons. After the 24 years in Bolivia, we felt the Lord prompting us to move back to the U.S. and have been in McAllen, Texas, on the Texas-Mexico border for these 8 years.
Test. Hello. Yeah. We'll just pass this one back and forth. Yeah. How many of you know for certain that God loves you? You don't have to raise your hand. I think everybody knows for certain that God loves you. How many of you feel like God loves all the people of Camp Syker? You don't have to raise your hand. Again, obvious. What about, does God love all the people in Ohio and Indiana and, dare I say, Michigan too? You know, Ohio and Michigan, you know, anyway. I'm from Indiana originally, so I had to mention Indiana. And I know Kyle down here, he's a Bluffdenite. My grandparents were from just a few miles from where he's at. But obviously, he loves those people. He loves the people in South Texas. He loves the people. We heard about Japan. Wow, only 1% of them know about God's love for them. We heard earlier this morning about Hungary from the Bucks, and he loves them. What about that annoying neighbor? Does God love that neighbor? We could probably all think of an annoying, obnoxious neighbor, right? What about that coworker? That sometimes is hard to get along with. Yeah, God loves us all. He loves all of them. Now, some of them know it. Thank the Lord. But a lot of them have never even had the opportunity to hear. Now, in McAllen, Texas, the work has been there for a long time. And again, our the city we live in, you know, most of them would say, oh, yeah, I believe in God. You know, the Roman Catholic traditions and such, probably a very high percentage would say, yeah, we believe in God. But they lack in other areas, of course, that idea of relationship. As we come together and consider some things this morning, let me see. See if I can push the right button. I want us to think about a story in the Old Testament. If you have your Bible, you can read it along too. I'm going to be reading from the NIV in a moment, but just a little backstory. This is, of course, if you might, oh, it must be about Moses, early Exodus, right? And you know the story about the burning bush. Moses there watching over his sheep, and all of a sudden he sees this bush on fire. He's like, what in the world? Now, maybe it wasn't so unusual to see a bush on fire, but the strange thing was the bush wasn't being consumed. And so he had to go check it out a little bit closer. And of course, then, you know, he heard a word from God that said, you're standing on holy ground. Take off your shoes. Now, in a lot of ways, I feel that this pulpit, in some ways, is like holy ground. So if you'll allow me, I'm going to take off my shoes. Don't smell. Is this allowed? I'm going to preach without shoes on today, because think of all the years of people coming forth here, sharing God's word. Think of all the people whose lives have been changed right here at this altar. It is truly holy ground. And so I want us to remember that as we go forward, as we read this story. God had an interesting question for Moses in this story. And so I'll start with chapter 4, and I'm going to read the first 5 verses. But it says, in this verse 1 of chapter 4, Moses answered, one other comment. Remember, God had just said to him, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. They've been in captivity for so many years, I think 430 years or so. And it was time. God was ready to lead them out, and he needed Moses to be that person. So go and tell them. And Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to what I have to say? Or they might say, the Lord didn't appear to you? Then the Lord said to them, what's in your hand? Well, right now I got a clicker in my hand. But Moses had a staff. He had a staff. And the Lord said, throw it to the ground. And Moses threw it to the ground, and it became a serpent, a snake. How many of you like snakes? Any snake lovers in here? Any snake handlers? I think we heard about one of the other camp meetings had a snake. I don't hope that any of them show up here. But most of us don't like snakes too much. What about you, Rebecca? Not so much. Okay. Moses ran from it. So he must not have liked it either. But remember, it was his staff. He's running from his staff, now become a snake. And then the Lord said, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. I'm sure all you ladies would say, yeah, I'll go grab a tail of a snake, right? Maybe not. I see Barb going, no. This is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. So when we think about that story, you think of Moses' response, this kind of what if kind of questions. What if they won't believe me? What if they won't listen to me? What if they say, you're nobody special? Have you ever had any of those thoughts yourselves that you've maybe considered, well, I could speak to my neighbor about the Lord. Or I could talk to these children in a Sunday school class about Jesus. Have you ever said that to yourself? Well, what if they won't listen to me? I'm nobody special. You know, Moses had those same thoughts. And, you know, did he stop it there? Did he say, oh, nope, I'm not going to do it? Obviously not. He had his staff in his hand. And, you know, again, that question, what's in your hand? And imagine if Moses had said no. These miraculous things that we associate with him, obviously God doing them through him, and his staff, holding the staff up and having the Red Sea part in two, striking the rock and water coming out of the rock, touching the Nile River with his staff and the river turning to blood. What if he had said no? What if he... Yeah, we can probably figure out that God would have found somebody else. But he didn't say no, and he did follow through, and he was the deliverer here that God used to bring his people out of captivity into the land that God had promised to them. What is your staff? What is your stick? What's in your hand? I want you to consider that for a minute. You know, some of you might have a cell phone in your hand. You know, most of us, a lot of us, keep this thing out there, and you know, you're always communicating or doing something on it. Unfortunately, maybe too much. Maybe in your hand is a wonderful baritone voice like Ken has. Yeah, you do. You know, and God can use that voice to triumphantly sing his praises. What's in your hand? Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you've been able to, lead classrooms through the years. That's what we really considered ourselves, teachers there in Kentucky, there in Bolivia, and for a short time in Texas, the Mexican border. Maybe you have certain skills that God could use. I want you to consider, think about it. What is it? What are some of my skills? Maybe you have certain resources that you could share. I'm not just talking money. Oh, we have a large van. Our church could use that to go and pick up the kids for Sunday school. You know, that's another form of resource. Maybe you have time. Well, I'm retired now, and what am I going to do now? I'll go fishing today. Well, I went fishing yesterday. And the day before that. And there's nothing wrong with going fishing. Right, Kyle? But, you know, maybe that's part of what God has allowed you to have now. Time. It makes me think of a lady that we saw just a few weeks ago. About 2 weeks ago. Her name is Mrs. Moore, Janet Moore. And she lives in Columbus, Ohio. And 35 years or so ago, we spoke at her church. The church that she was attending there in Columbus, and she start, well, she had us over to her house, and I think we had a supper, maybe spaghetti. I can always ask my wife, what do we have to eat? Because she always remembers.
Spaghetti.
Okay, it was spaghetti. I never remember. Oh, yeah, we probably ate. But anyway, so Janet Moore, as now in her early 90s, went to her pastor recently. Maybe it was in the last 2 years, I think. And she said, Pastor, I don't have much to give anymore. I want to serve, but I can't do it. And the pastor was like, do you have one of these guys? And she says, oh, yeah, I've got a phone. Everybody has a phone. And he challenged her. He said, well, why don't you call people up? Why don't you call them and talk to people and relate to people? So about 2 years ago, Janet Moore calls us up. We hadn't seen her in 35 years or so. And all of a sudden, we're sitting in a parking lot at Walmart somewhere. I'm not even sure where we were at. And Janet's like, I can't believe it. I'm talking to you guys. I've known you for so long. I've been praying for you for so long. Praise God. And now she was encouraging us too with the words that she was sharing. She had a phone in her hand. That's her staff, you could say. Maybe she doesn't have the energy to do lots of other things. Maybe she doesn't have a great singing voice. But she's using what's in her hand to bless others. And about every month, we get a call from Janet. And she wants to know what's going on. She wants to know how to pray. And so, you know, praise God for people like Janet that said, God, here I am. Use me. I don't know what I have, but I'm willing. Show me how that you can use me. Sometimes it just takes, you know, that first step, and then you find a blessing. One of the things we've seen, I'm going to have Cynthia share, is how God has put things, new staff, in our hands. One of them being a building that God is blessing there at Taylor Community Center.
So Taylor Christian School functioned for about 74 years in McAllen, Texas. It's a great ministry to mainly the children of migrant workers. But in 2022, the school closed, but we still had it. It was still the property of World Gospel Mission, and it was in our hands. And so as a staff, as we clearly sensed the Lord leading us to close the school, He was also opening our eyes to community center ministries that could take place there. And so as we prayed and dedicated the space to God, it's been amazing to see how He has taken that and used it as a tool, a resource to reach out to our community in new ways, to new people. We have English as a second language classes. We offer crochet classes. We have a thrift store, a pottery workshop, a pregnancy resource center on campus. We have a gym that during COVID we were able to renovate and air condition. And so now we have hundreds and hundreds of children and adults coming through there each week to play volleyball. We offer sports camps. We have Soccer Lions Academy for children. Homeschool cooperatives use our space. Ministry after ministry, God has opened up to us, many different kinds of Bible studies, men's groups, but it was just something that we had in our hands, this building. And step by step, we've just asked the Lord, show us how you want to use it. Show us how you want to use us. I don't know if any of you know Charles and Keith Winters. They were missionaries with World Gospel Mission a long time. One time when Charlie was here in the States, somebody connected with him and said, I have a semi-trailer of used clothing. Where do you want me to send it? And so he said, we'll send it down to the border. And he connected with our missionaries there. This was about 15 years ago or more. And that birthed our thrift store ministry called Sparrow's Nest, where now it's functioning as a beautiful little boutique. We're open twice a week. But as neighborhood ladies come into shop, we have a children's Bible club. And so the children in that picture are regulars. They've grown up coming to the store with their mom, and every Tuesday night when they come, they get to go to Bible club, and the older children in that group have all accepted Jesus there during the Sparrow's Nest Bible Club. Another thing that God has given us, there's some bingo cards. When the school closed, we had supplies left from fall festivals. And fall festival, we used to have a bingo game. And we learned that bingo really is the favorite game of adults in South Texas and in Mexico. So we started a Saturday morning bingo fellowship, completely free, no money involved. But we share breakfast, play some games, either a local pastor or one of us shares a devotional. And would you know that during bingo, during those devotional times, there are senior adults and young adults who have raised their hands and said, yes, I prayed this morning to receive Christ. And so they keep coming. They keep coming hungry for fellowship, hungry for God's word that they know will be shared there, hungry for prayer. In our May bingo, there was a younger lady that came, and as soon as I greeted her at the door, she looked at me, this penetrating stare, and said, I need you to pray for me. And so at the end of the bingo time, she came in the office, and we prayed, and she's having a lot of family issues, marriage issues. She said, I don't know why. I didn't come here expecting to ask anybody to pray for me, but it was just like God came over me as soon as I saw you, and I said, I need to ask her to pray for me. And as a result of that, she's now involved in one of our ladies' book studies on relationships and is finding some help in that situation. But God is bringing people to us that need him, that need to go deeper in him. He's also bringing people to us to come alongside in the ministries in unexpected ways.
In these four pictures, as you see in the slide, there are four men that God has brought into our, I guess you could say, like our team, our partnership. None of these are really employed by us, but God has brought them to us in times that we were like thinking, well, let me give some backstory. When our school closed, we kept all of our musical instruments from music class because in my mind and also John Kunkel's mind, and I think a lot of you know John, we really hope that someday we might have a music school there at the community center. And God brought to us the man in the upper left-hand corner. His name's Eduardo Cruz, and he came to us and he said, God's leading me to be starting a music school. Could I use your space? Could I rent a part of your property to do that? So praise God, you know, he's the one that brought Eduardo there, and you know, it's still small and still, you know, just starting off. But this summer, they also did some music camps there on our property, but God brought him. Now, one thing about it, this isn't just, okay, teach kids how to play the piano or teach kids how to sing or you know, whatever. His main intention for this is to train up young people, not only young, but people to be a part of music ministry, to minister through music. So praise God for Eduardo Cruz. Pray for him, though. Okay, here's one person. Put his name on your prayer list. Eduardo Cruz. He's from Reynosa. He only speaks Spanish. Now, in our community, we're 98% Hispanic. And really, most people speak what you call Spanglish. You know, they mix English and Spanish in every sentence almost. So, but unfortunately for Eduardo, he doesn't know the English part of that Spanglish. So, you know, we're pray for him as he learns more English, because that will open up more opportunities there too. Because especially young people, a lot of the young people going through the school systems, they're only, you know, they know some Spanish, but they prefer English. So that's one way that you can be praying. This summer we had basketball camps. We saw a basketball camp picture in the previous slide. But these two young men are from Hillsboro, Ohio, and they came down to help coach this year. You know, again, it was not something that we asked them, but they were like, we've heard about your basketball camp. Can we come down and help out? And for a couple weeks, they were there. One of them, the guy on the left, coaches in a varsity team in Hillsboro. It's a Christian school there. And the other man is just a good guy that loves basketball. And so they helped fill a void, a gap. You know, we had some other coaches from McAllen that were helping out. Actually, one of our pastor friends is the one that came to me first and said, Kurt, what if we start doing basketball camps in the summer? And this is the fourth year we've been doing that. His name is Michael Smith, not Michael W. Smith, but he's Michael A. Smith. But praise God. The men on the bottom, and real quickly, one is a retired English teacher from Wisconsin. He comes down. He's done now 3 years to teach English second language at our community center. And we have some others that continue it on through the year, too. But Craig, and then Glenn in the other picture on the right, he's a professor at the Rio Grande Bible Institute. And he came to me and said, I'd love to offer Bible classes at the community center. So a lot of times God puts in our hands needs that we didn't even know we had, maybe, in some cases, or perhaps desires or wants that we knew we had, but we weren't sure how it was going to happen. So he's made those things right. Now, another thing, I know our time is running out quickly, but I'm thankful that John Kunkel and I have both sensed a desire and the need to reach out to some of the men in our community. And so the upper picture, you'll see John in the left. He kind of got cut off a little bit by the slide. But these are some men that, as we walk around our community, we get to know some of the people. And these are some guys that I had seen. They were working out in the yard. Hi, how's it going? Yeah. You know. Anyway, it starts off kind of on a very superficial level. But after getting to know some of these guys, we were like, would you, if we had a Bible study, would you come? Would you be interested? And these are not people that are necessarily in the church. Rolando, the guy in the beard in the upper picture, he had been in a church. And he and his wife were, I think, very active at one point. But you know how this is sometimes. Somebody said something sometime, and somebody was offended, and they, even though they still considered themselves believers, they were kind of out of the fellowship. But yet they would come to our men's Bible study. And so he confessed to us about 3 or 4 weeks ago. He's like, you know, I'm not where I need to be yet, but God's moving me forward. And so that's what we've been talking about all this week in the services, you know, with holiness, you know, how God is transforming us. And it's a process as we continue growing in him. Gilbert, on the very end there, his sister goes to our church, and she had been so concerned about Gilbert because, you know, he has told me some of his story. And he said when he was a kid, he was an altar boy in the Catholic Church, and so it was always there in the Catholic Church. But and he had has quite a story. He's 84 now, but God has opened the doors for him to come and be a part of our men's Bible study. And there's more men in the bottom. That's actually from our Global Methodist Church that we are a part of, too, there in McAllen. So some of the men there, I won't tell all their stories. They each have a very unique story. But God is opening doors. Maybe in this case, what was in our hand, a desire to see our neighborhood come to Christ, the desire for community, the desire to let them know that God loves them. Because like we said at the beginning, we already know that, but not everybody does. And so they're coming together with us each month.
Amanda mentioned in the 9:30 service about hope and the lack of hope that they see in the people in Hungary. And what we see along the border is misplaced hope that, you know, many people have come to the United States hoping for a better life. Many have found it. Some have found Christ as they've come here, and it has far exceeded their hopes, right? But others have put a lot of hope in government, have put a lot of hope in the system, and some of those hopes have been disappointed. But it's been a great opportunity in the particular times that we live in right now, where detention and deportation is a real thing that affects real people with real children and families and people, you know, making decisions that will impact them for the rest of their lives. One of our Sparrow's Nest ladies that used to come to the shop very frequently is a young mom by the name of Sinaid. Usually really upbeat. She's a shopaholic, so we kind of would encourage her not to spend too much, although our prices are so good. The money wasn't really the issue, but I think trying to fill a void in her life sometimes with things. But she would also say sometimes, you know, I just need to come here. I need this. It's like, my kids love the Bible club. I need them to be away from me for those 30 minutes at least once a week. She's like, I need them to be there, and I need to be here. And one day she was expressing that. She said, I just don't know what to do. She said, I came legally, but I've overstayed my time. And so I've been having to tell, she's a single mom. She said, I've been having to explain to my older son that if he comes home from school one day and I'm not here, this is what you have to do. These are the numbers to call. And he would say, but mom, why would you be arrested? You haven't done anything wrong. And she's like, well, I have. I've overstayed, and I had permission to be here, but I don't anymore. But I really want to raise you here because this is a better environment than where we came from. And so she told me, she said, I just don't know what to do. And so we were able to pray together, standing there at the cash register, just praying for the Lord's guidance in her life. A few weeks later, I found out through a mutual friend that she had decided to move back home and take her kids and move back home with her parents on the other side of the border. And I would say that was the best decision she could make. But she can live in peace now. And she knows that wherever she goes, God is there. She is a believer, and she's learning to put her hope in the Lord and not in materialism or certain benefits that we have here in the U.S. And so we thank God that hope in Christ is real, and it doesn't disappoint, right? We have hope unshakable in the Lord. There was another young mom that used to come frequently to the Sparrow's Nest boutique before she moved. First met her, she came in with a double stroller and was looking for baby items for her littlest one. Beautiful kids, Eric and Elizabeth. And there's just something about her that kind of drew me to her. You know, that sometimes something stirs in your heart and you feel a connection to somebody. So after she'd been coming for a couple months, we were starting an Experiencing God Bible study. And so I reached out to several of the shoppers and asked if they'd like to participate. And she was one that accepted. And so the first day when she came to the Bible study, she was introducing herself to the other ladies. And she said, you know, I'm a young mom. I'm a young wife. My parents both passed away in COVID. And I don't really have any place to go for advice. So I just look for advice on Facebook about being a wife and a mom. She says, it's not working. And over again, she said, I just want to know God. I need God in my life. I just want to know God. And she was so hungry for the Lord. And through the course of the next several months, she came to know God personally. And one day she came in and we were asking her how her week had gone. She's like, well, honestly, it's been rough. So my husband and I, things just exploded. And said, but in the heat of the moment when I was just about to explode, like I usually do in that situation, I just said, no, I've got to go to my room. So she said, I went to my room and I shut the door and I just begged God. I said, God, would you just give me peace? And she said, he did. God gave me peace. He gave us peace. And she said, I knew God could be my savior, but I didn't know he could be my peace. But he is. And God is working in their family. Her husband has gone through some rehab and come full-time into the home. They've moved together to another town. But God's working in her life. And, you know, everywhere we go, there's people that have this longing in their heart that need hope, and some that maybe have put it in the wrong place. But God may have put something in our hands that is going to be a connection for them. With Lupita and Sinaid, it was used clothing, of all things. that God gave us in our hands so we could meet these women and share the hope of Christ with them so he could do his work in their lives. And so again, God's given us all lots of things in our hands, but thank you for helping us to be able to use what he's given us to reach the people in our community. And we pray for each of you that God will enable you and multiply his work through you as you use whatever it is he's put in your hands.
So again, as we are approaching the end of our time, but God has given us, you know, when we go back to this word staff that was from the Moses story, not only a physical, you know, an object, but staff can also mean the crew, the team, the workers. And he's given us a wonderful staff through the kunkels and through the tejedas and the vacas. The tejedas and the vacas both are involved in our soccer ministry. Laura Vaca is our crochet person. So 3 days a week, she's using the needles, the knitting needles or the crochet needles in her hand to have meaningful conversations with these young people and others that are coming together to learn how to crochet. The guys, Gerson Tejeda and Jorge Vaca, use their feet because they're soccer players. You know, if you touch the ball with your hands in a soccer game, unless you're the goalie, you know, that's a no-no. But so God is using their what's in their feet in this case to help these kids and young people. We didn't tell you, there's so many stories we could tell. But one of them's about a man named Chino that used to come to men's soccer, and he's in prison right now. And his wife is a young mom, only about 20 years old, and has a little guy, Josiah, that the Vacas are kind of mentoring and helping and loving on, helping take care of that baby as she goes to work because daddy's in prison. We've been praying for him that Chino would have people in the prison that can be a positive influence on him, and there has been different ones that's been able to help him too. So, you know, what's in our hands? What you may have noticed, I have something in my hands right now. I don't know if you've seen any of these guys coming around the campus. This actually was Kyle's daughter, Winterlin, said, I made something. I'm selling it for missionaries, for the money for missions. And I say, oh, yeah, it's a gecko. We love geckos in Bolivia. They would live behind our pictures on the wall and lay their eggs here and there, and you'd find that. Don't ever pop them in your mouth. They look kind of like a mint, but that's not a good idea. But what was in her hands? This little gecko that she, I said, well, how long does it take you to make? Oh, just a few minutes. But that was what she was had in her hands. So does it matter how old we are or young we are? God calls us to use what's in our hands for his glory, for his purposes. You know, again, I ask you to think, well, what is it that God has for you? Maybe it's, again, an opportunity to help a family member. I was talking to one of the ladies last night, and she was saying, well, most of my family still lives with me. I'm 84 years old, but most of them are still around all the time, and I'm doing things for them all the time. Well, that was a ministry that she's still enabled to do, to help encourage them and to love on them and help guide them to a deeper relationship with Jesus. You know, some of you, again, maybe have talents that you can share in your local congregation. Maybe you have abilities. Maybe you have time, like we mentioned earlier. One of the things that have been an encouragement to us through the years is when we get a card or a letter from somebody saying, hey, we love you guys. We're praying for you. We love what you're doing. If you are not on our mailing list, I guess I better mention this too. This is one of those new things that's in our hands, a coffee ministry. We're wanting to start that up this year. Several of our staff really thought, you know, this would be a great opportunity, and we're converting our old school offices into a coffee shop ministry. We're calling it La Mesa, the table. But a place where people can come. Maybe they're coming for used clothing. Maybe they're coming to play volleyball. But a place where they can come in there and have meaningful conversations with with those that are there. Maybe you know someone who's a barista, someone who has the talent of making good coffee. At this point, we don't have that person yet. We're looking for who God might be calling that way, or maybe it'd be somebody from that's already down there. But pray with us that God will provide. We have the funds for the building. Hey, praise God. A lot of mission work is about money, isn't it? You know, we're always talking about raising money. But I want to say for Cynthia and I, we're not here to raise any money. We're not here to raise any money. Thank the Lord that the camp has been a part of our team. Thank you so much. So we appreciate it very much. But you know, there are some missionaries here right now that can't go back without their money. The bucks that were here this morning, I asked him, I said, well, how's your funding? We're lacking 30 or 40%. So if that's in your hands to help send them there. Now, I'm not talking about the camp itself. I know the camp will probably support them and be a part of that. But maybe some individuals can say, well, I wanted to be a part of that too. Wow. Chrissy and Ephraim Charles, you know, they're here. The mission told them a couple months ago, you need to go on, go and raise some more support. You're lacking $2,500 a month. So there are ways for us to use what's in our hands to send the missionaries back to the field where God has called them to go. Now, we always say, yeah, God's going to provide. That's an easy way to, it can be used as a cop-out, right? God's going to provide. Well, it could be he's going to provide through me. So consider what's in your hands. Again, in ministry, in enabling ministry. You know, we heard about the Psalm 139 this morning, too. Wow, those buildings that they're building there in Haiti, and these families, these women, and little kids that they're providing for. They need more money. They need funds. So consider, you know, what is it that God would want you to do, to be a part of? Thank you so much for all you do for us. Thank you for your prayers. I look around the room. I've known Ron and Becky for a long time. They came down to Bolivia a long time ago, or at least Ron did, on a work team. Carl also came to Bolivia. We knew him when he was a young guy. You know what was in his hands when he was down there? Heavy bags of cement. And he and another guy, Mark Wharton, decided they're going to, let's have a competition. Who can carry the most cement? And they also did, who could carry the most bricks? Right, Carl? Anyway, well, I think it was Carl. Maybe it was Mark that had a brick in his mouth, you know, just to get one more brick on there. So what's in your hands? Nathan had a smoker. Wow. Praise God for that smoker and all the ones of us that were blessed by that wonderful brisket the other day. But what's in your hands? How is God wanting to use you more than what he's already doing? I know we're already doing a lot, but just consider. If you need to come down and talk to the Lord and say, yeah, God, I really have been needing to give this up. Maybe I should use the money I spend on that instead of on that to housing in Haiti. Maybe I should give that up. And I see Richard over here too. I know he has kids that they are supporting there in Haiti. And so, you know, there are many, many, many ways to use those resources and funds and time and blessings that we have. So maybe I'm not supposed to give this speech this morning, but I felt like it was a part of what I wanted to do. So praise God for Camp Syker. Praise God for your ministry, for the influence of holiness unto the Lord. You know, that's for all of us. But it's also for those around the world that can't be here at Camp Syker. So God bless you. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you do for us. That we have the assurance that you love us. That you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for each of us. Whether we're in Japan, in Tokyo, whether we're in Hungary, whether we're in the border of Texas and Mexico, in Bolivia, and thousands of other places around the world. Whether we're just that person across the street that we might consider an obnoxious neighbor, Lord, give us a desire to love them, to show your love to them. Help us to be your hands. Help us to be your feet, to do all that you have for us. Help us to use what's in our hands to show the world that you love them. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.